Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Justin Davis, Scoop. Marty Sliva,
hey.
Jared Petty is
Hi.
Here. So much to talk about. There's this little show called the Electronic Entertainment Expo that went down in Los Angeles, the city of angels, last week. So much to talk about, a couple housekeeping notes first. Mm-hmm. This Saturday, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, is the IGN House Party taking place here in San Francisco. Marty, there are still a few tickets left, I believe.
Yeah, we ended up selling out, and then I think somehow we tricked them into getting more people. We broke a lot of fire codes.
We convinced them to build an additional room.
A third floor.
At the studio.
Yeah, we have a couple tickets left. If you go to go.ign.com/houseparty. You can go register. It's going to be super fun. We're having Beyond Episode 400, Unlocked Episode 200. We're all going to be there hanging out.
Yep.
Damon's playing a show afterwards. It's
going to
be great.
So after that, there's even an after party taking place in the evening that you don't need a ticket for, and it's totally free to get into. So even if you aren't going to the house party, you're welcome to come and party with us at the after party. It's at a bar here in San Francisco called Neck of the Woods. It's in the Inner Richmond, 406 Clement, 8 p.m. It's going to be really fun. Marty's going to break dance.
I'm going to break dances.
Do you
Marty,
break
Marty does the worm so well.
Yeah.
Really?
You would swear he's an invertebrate.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's a scoliosis.
Yeah.
You know, like that Dirty Vegas video, like the Days Gone By thing?
Dirty Vegas.
So where's the after party?
That's at my place.
Ooh. Mm. Please don't give your address.
Nope. No.
Am I invited?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Oh, excellent.
Okay. E3. What'd you guys think?
It's just the best.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And so I think E3 is always fun. And I think this was a particularly good year.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a year that was just, it was positive, and there were a lot of really cool looking games. There were a lot of surprises. There wasn't a whole bunch of controversy or anything. Yeah. A lot of a lot of companies sort of took feedback from the last couple of years, and it was like, hey, Ubisoft had that comment about women in games, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of women in games now. Like, this is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's an energetic, just game-packed expo. Everything was very game-focused. We weren't talking about other features of the consoles, really. We were talking about games and what we can do with them. That was exciting. It's something people have wanted, and we just got it conference after conference after conference. The big three all showed interesting things. Even Nintendo, who had some problems in their conference, showed me a lot of handheld games I wanted to see and some neat ideas. Sony and Microsoft just both knocked it out of the park in completely different ways. We had good material presented at the publisher conferences, and then there on the show floor as well, all kinds of neat surprises. It was a wonderful show.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys know what games got the most media coverage during
E3? Oh, I don't know.
I know. This data comes from ICO Partners, and it's at that all. This is like number of articles written about each game, and then the outlets are weighed by their Alexa ranking. So an IGN is weighed higher than,
I would say,
Mom and Pop's Game Blog.
Where you can almost probably get number
one. I recommend
one.
Mom and Pop's Game Blog.
Fallout 4 has got to be number one.
I don't know.
Would be my guess.
I mean, that would be up there for me. I wouldn't guarantee it. I would say stuff like Fallout, Halo.
Battlefield.
Battlefield's probably
Battlefront.
More. Battlefront.
Oh, Battlefront, jeez. Freaking Battle Slip.
Battlefront's probably way up there.
Yeah.
So Fallout 4
okay.
received the most media coverage. I wonder if it's because Bethesda had like 2 days head start.
Yeah,
I wonder if that's
2 days head start, and it already had that like really positive word of mouth starting on the June 3rd sort of like reveal that like, hey, this is real, and more is coming out of E3.
Yeah.
I mean, they also I don't know. I mean, they showed us a lot of the game. It's coming out this fall.
That was
like this way. We've been working on this for years and years and years. Here it is. It's almost done.
Also, Fallout Shelter, which is sort of a built-in commercial from the game, gets announced at the same time, so that keeps people's minds on.
It had that moment. It had that, and it's out right now moment, which is always super fun.
You've been playing a lot of Fallout Shelter. You're reviewing it for IGN.
I am.
You're liking it. Do you think it's okay?
It's okay.
I see a lot of people playing it around the
office. A ton of people are playing it.
It's not a great game, but it's fun, you know, it's a fun diversion.
Someone created me in their shelter and has been tweeting me my progress as an inhabitant of their cave. I can't decide if that's charming or terrifying.
You making babies?
Charmifying.
Actually, they're sending me out into the wasteland to kill.
Yeah, that seems about right. There's two types of people in the world.
Yeah.
We know
wasteland
kind.
Murderers and baby makers.
We know which kind Jared is.
I'd rather be a baby maker.
Your mention is coming out this year. It's coming out the same day as Rise of the Tomb Raider.
For now.
Holy schmoly.
So you think Tomb Raider's gonna...
Something's gotta give.
I mean, someone's gonna blink, right? For sure. There's no way.
Okay, I mean, would that be the weirdest thing that's ever happened?
It's, if you blink, where do you go? Do you go?
There's nowhere to go.
Halo, Battlefront, Call of Duty, there's too many games.
Maybe they're just counting on everybody having $120 in their pocket that particular day.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of games coming out early 2016. Mm-hmm. My brain is escaping, but I feel like we saw that.
Yeah, Quantum Break, Uncharted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Early 2016, which sounds like, man, you're going to miss the holiday season, but it's like, do you want to go up against Call of Duty and Star Wars and Halo and some of the biggest franchises in all of video games? It's you gotta get out of the way.
There should be a Call of Duty game that's Gone Home where you don't fire a bullet and it could be called Hall of Duty.
Ooh.
Just going around a hallway.
Yeah.
Doing your duty. No? You're not gonna play it?
No, I'm not gonna play it.
All right, well, that's friendship over.
I enjoy duty. Duty and honor, that could be fun.
You just do chores.
Yeah.
So, I'm totally gonna play both Tomb Raider and Fallout 4. Yeah. I'm gonna play Tomb Raider first.
Yes.
Because it's gonna be shorter.
Yeah, you're gonna be able to get through it in 20 hours probably.
And then Fallout 4, I'm just gonna play.
Forever?
And just probably.
I'm gonna build a house in the middle of the desert. I'm gonna make babies. I'm gonna kill everyone around me.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think about Fallout 4? The reveal, the big gameplay reveal.
I enjoyed the gameplay reveal. Yeah. I thought they did a good job with that. I liked seeing they did a good. They showed us familiar things. You know, we saw dogs and Mr. Handy and things we recognized. But then they show us a really neat reinterpretation of Boston. I like the idea of a flying USS Constitution. It looks like the area wasn't nearly as devastated by nuclear weapons as some of the other places we've seen.
Well, or maybe it's farther in the future. Yeah. Although you're right that the old buildings are still there. But I really like that you saw blue skies and some kind of green grass.
Colors.
And they're going to do some interesting things with the story of that game, I think, if it is a little bit farther in the future and things are kind of starting to... There's a little bit more society in place. I actually really like that about New Vegas, too. There's actually a big city with electricity, and that was really cool.
I think they're talking about 2 centuries after the Holocaust is what they're shooting for.
Yeah.
I guess I don't recall the specific Fallout 3 timeline, but that's similar, isn't it?
Fairly, yeah.
Mm.
What do you think about the voice protagonist?
I think it's cool. I mean, Bethesda's full of really talented writers, so I don't mind that too much.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think they have to figure out where, how to keep their products relevant and feeling new, feeling fresh. I'm actually replaying Fallout 3 right now, and it's funny how games start to feel old little bit by little bit over time. Fallout 3, I don't think felt old 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, but now it's kind of,
Yeah, I mean, certain advancements come on. If some shooter comes out and totally sort of redefines and sets the new benchmark for everyone does something like this, like aiming down the sights or something, then any game before that doesn't do it sort of makes it weird.
I feel like it's an abomination before God and man.
Wow.
Yeah.
We know Jared's thoughts on voice.
I don't like voicing games for the most part.
For any characters that you're talking to?
I prefer prefer text most of the time. I don't like hearing people talk about games.
So you really like Nintendo games.
I do like Nintendo games.
Jared, you're being motioned to adjust your collar on your shirt.
Oh, dear. Okay, I'm having motion.
Goodness gracious. That's from Star Wars.
Ooh. He is kind of like a Swedish C-3PO.
Oh. Swede-3PO.
Imagine
the C-3PO costume I'd have to cram into, though. It would be so fat.
Yeah.
Baymax, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Baymax. One thing about the voice protagonist is it's relatively easy or just free to let you play as a man or a woman in previous Bethesda games. Sure, be whatever you want. Be a cat, be a man, be a woman. Not Fallout. Elder Scrolls.
Oh. Okay.
But now that suddenly becomes a much, much bigger... okay, everything that you just did, do it again. Someone else has to record 10,000 more lines of dialogue just for the whatever percentage of people that want to play as a woman. But
it's good. It's good of them.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
I thought the character creator seemed really cool.
Yeah, I like the framing of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How you're in front of the mirror and you're sort of just molding.
Yeah, creative character creators are fun like that. Things where they kind of bend the mold a bit. Go all the way back to Ultima 4 where you're taking a tarot card test.
Mm-hmm.
And that determines what class you're going to be. Or I like when they kind of go outside and do something fun with it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And they announced there is going to be a second screen app.
Yeah.
Along with a real Pip-Boy that comes with the collector's edition, I believe.
Yeah.
Stick your phone in that Pip-Boy. Yeah. I like what was Todd Howard's exact words? He said, I know people think about this stuff as a stupid fucking gimmick, but if that's the case, we're going to have the best stupid fucking gimmick there's ever been. And I'm like, that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. They owned it. That's adorable.
And I actually think, I think they did a great job. We saw a lot of that game, 20 minutes plus.
Yeah.
And so we saw, deep dives into some of it, but we kind of still don't know anything about it. They struck that balance between Yeah. Like, there's huge questions about not just the story, but gameplay systems and every aspect of the game.
Although it looks like a Minecraftian crafting
system. Yeah, then they sort of are just like, it's like that actually reminded everything me that of Fortnite's doing.
You beat me to the party!
Yeah, it's insane. It's like, hey, a small part of Fallout is Fortnite. It's like, oh man, that's
just gun customizations, insane. Just endless number of guns. Yeah.
And just giving you something to do with all the crap you collect. I like that. That's great.
Do you think you're going
to
be on the guide for this, Jared?
I think there's a good chance I'll end up on the guide for this one.
Bring Colin back.
Heaven help whoever has to do
Colin's doing the guide again.
It's been a while since I've done a really big guide, so I'm guessing my time is probably swung back around again.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, what game during E3 got the second most media coverage?
Star Wars.
Final Fantasy VII.
Shenmue.
Remake. Yep.
Remake!
The game opens.
That was a really big deal.
Yeah, that was insane. That CG trailer, I think, did a lot to sort of show people like what the tone of this is going to be. It's very much in line with what Final Fantasy's become through the 13 series, and then with 15, where it draws in modern clothing and sort of modern, like the city looks modern. Like, it's still Midgar, but people are wearing suits and people are wearing like vests, and the train looks like a regular train. But yeah, this is these quick glimpses of everything that's familiar about the opening, you know, couple hours of the game, and then at the end you see Cloud and Barrett.
I'm so glad to hear it's a remake. We're talking about a game that was made 18 years ago, and the things that made it impressive 18 years ago, when you look at them now, are not nearly as impressive. They're going to have to find new things for us to do. There's a lot of that game that really could use some revision. The Materia system has some problems. The story's an absolute mess. I can't remember. It may have been Scott Shirky who said it's kind of like playing Mad Libs with the Bible. You know, I think they're going to have to find ways to make it more palatable. I also think they will find those ways.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, they've said that this isn't just a visual upgrade. This is a mechanical upgrade and a story upgrade. So
I mean, I can't even imagine the amount of work. Like, the CG trailer was gorgeous, it's like, okay, now you have to make the entire video game.
Here's my theory. At PlayStation Experience last December, Sony or Square Enix came on stage and said, we're bringing Final Fantasy VII to PS4, but it's the PC port.
You
know, everybody was so disappointed, and it was a big debacle. So I think in between December and E3, they decided to finally really remake Final Fantasy VII, and they had enough time to put the CG trailer together, and that's literally all that they've done.
I have a feeling this game isn't coming for a very long time.
So midway through the game, are they going to kill Cloud or Tifa this time?
I would love if they kill another character.
That might, and I mean, also, will Yuffie be tolerable?
She was tolerable.
I don't know. There's a lot of characters not that tolerable.
She had socks.
If they can get it out in 2 years, that'll be the 20th anniversary. So that's a nice package. But still, like, they have to complete. They just have to make a new game.
Yeah, I mean, if they can get Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts 3 out in 2 years, I'll be happy. Like, let alone
they probably won't do. They won't do. Well, I mean, I guess I can't say what they won't do, but it doesn't seem like they would do pre-rendered backgrounds again with polygonal characters, right? Like, they'll probably just do a full 3D world.
I think look at the episode Duskai demo of Final Fantasy 15, and I think the game's gonna be like that. Also, I think this will almost take the place of Final Fantasy 16. I think there will still be a Final Fantasy 16, but I think this is where the resources are going, as opposed to whatever that unannounced project is.
I mean, I liked Final Fantasy 7. I played it. It was one of the first PS1 games I played, but 9 has always been the one that's been near and dear to my heart, so I kind of could take or leave. I liked Midgar a lot, and that was actually the rest of the game. Once you left that city, I was kind of...
You're a Steiner boy.
Well, they took Crisis Core and took that kind of mess that was 7 and did something really new and interesting with it. So they've proven they can. And I feel like there's good reason to hope that this is going to be a really good
game. Square's done a pretty good job of turning the ship around the last couple of years with everything they've shown from 15 and Type-Zero and Kingdom Hearts 3.
Fixing Final Fantasy 14.
Heavensward.
We talked to them at E3, and they at least seem sincere in their intentions to, like,
totally
want to do it right.
I'm like,
The third most popular game might surprise you. It was Doom from Bethesda, which I'm not really... I need a little bit more usually from my first-person shooters than just shooty-shooty action, but I thought that demo looked really fun.
Demo was great.
I
was like,
shooty-shooty action would be a good name for a game.
It's a free-to-play iPhone game, I'm sure.
And this is shooty-shooty-shooty action.
I like fun gore stuff.
Shooters are swinging back that way, right? Like, Serious Sam is coming back, and Doom is back, and Unreal
Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein and Unreal Tournament's coming back.
Yeah.
And even Advanced Warfare's multiplayer kind of had a twitchy feel to it, moving in that series. And I'm happy for that. I want to see something quicker. This is a kind of a reactionary thesis. The shooter genre has gotten a little stale. It'll be nice to swing back and experiment with using new technology to on some old gameplay principles. And I like what I saw there in the demo.
I mean, everything's a cycle, right? Like slow and plodding Gears and Halo. And it's not neither good nor bad, but it's like they had their decade and now we're back.
Pendulum
sort of,
shifts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Swings, shifts. I don't know how the pendulum works.
The question for this one's going to be, it's been a while since anybody's tried or successfully pulled off a Twitch shooter with a controller. That's the reason they slowed down in the first place. Controllers are what slowed shooters down because it is harder to aim with that right stick than it is with a mouse. And so they slowed the game down to compensate for that. Are you going to be able to pull this off on a console now? And that's something I wondered about.
Yeah. I thought we saw it looked really, really cool, but it's like our millions of gamers going to go plunk $60 down for, you know, a campaign that's... Juvenile is too mean, but it's like you're fighting demons of hell. And like 20 years ago or 25 years ago, it's like, all right, but now it's kind of like, well,
I mean, but Wolfenstein worked.
Building your own maps.
Wolfenstein did work, that's
true. In the multiplayer, looks really cool.
Yeah. That's true. That feature did look really, really dope.
And I think it's applied to John Carmack, this quote. I believe it was him who said, you know, you're back in the 90s, he said, your average video game needs about as much plot as your average porno.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for that kind of storytelling minimalism. After Call of Duty Ghosts, I just wanted to throw up. At video game stories. So I'm okay with this just being like, they're demons and they're bad, shoot them.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of quotes this episode. I like it.
I like the quotes.
Yeah.
Smarter people than I am have a lot of neat things to say. So
who said that?
That's what the quotes are for. I did.
Oh. Quoted himself.
Winston Churchill.
Yeah. That guy had some quotes.
I believe it was the great Swede Jared Petty who said.
The great Swede.
Number four was Shenmue 3, which was a publicity stunt. So it's not too surprising that I got a lot of coverage.
Yeah.
But that was a little, I thought it was a little strange to bring a Kickstarter project out on the stage for this, you know, multi-billion dollar company's presentation.
I sort of feel, and it's obvious that Sony is funding the game, and we actually know that now, that they're providing, you know, what, 95% of the money it'll take to make that game. It's a little bit like, I don't want to be more of a party pooper than I already am, but it's kind of like, why are you kickstarting this? And why are people giving to the Kickstarter?
Why are you pooping on my party?
Because they are me. That's why. Because they want it to happen.
Yeah.
I know you're right about that. I don't know why it was wrapped up in this. Again, it was a publicity stunt. If you'd have said Shenmue 3 and not made it have this groundswell of popularity show through the rapid increase of the Kickstarter, maybe people will ask more questions. Now they look and say, oh, there is an interest. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just happy I'm getting it. Shenmue was an absolute mess, but I love it.
And if you're giving $50-$60 to this, that's what you're going to pay for the game whenever it comes out anyway. Yeah.
So there's a big movement to not pre-order because companies break their promises and why, you know, just pay $60. The game comes out, you pay $60. Is a big, you know, that's a very popular thing these days, and yet Kickstarter doesn't have that same sort of negative connotation.
I think Kickstarter still, you have a sense of ownership or a sense of, I am helping make this happen.
Helping that indie company.
Yu Suzuki. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas, you know, pre-order just feels like you're helping Walmart.
I do. I actually Kickstarter a lot of stuff, but I try to be really selective about, like, this might not happen. I want this to happen, and it might not happen if they don't get my money. With a lot of board games, are very tiny indie games. Or stuff like Pillars of Eternity, for example.
Yeah.
Next up, sticking with Sony, The Last Guardian.
Yeah.
Bird dog.
I really liked it. I really liked that demo.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of naysayers saying that.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, this is the thing. This game has built that mystique around it, and no matter what they showed, people were going to be like, well, that wasn't as good as what I wanted. And it's like, well, you're not.
Or it looks exactly the same as when we last saw it. And it's like, what do you want?
Yeah, exactly. Sony opening up their conference with it, I thought was awesome. I think the game looks gorgeous, looked different than anything else that was there.
Yeah, that's what
I think it has really strong art direction. It doesn't, it's not the, like, doesn't have the most graphics or whatever. Like, the most
people
realistic.
Were very upset about feather rendering, I guess.
I thought the feathers looked fine.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I don't know, it looked like an impressionist painting.
It doesn't have the most graphics. I
don't know what does have the most graphics.
I think the art choice of having a very realistically rendered world and realistically rendered bird dog or whatever is, do we have like an actual?
His name's Trico.
Okay.
But I will call him Bird Dog until I die. Mm-hmm.
So them being realistic and the little kid being cel shaded or rotoscoped or whatever that technique is. I don't know how I feel about those two styles.
I didn't notice much of a juxtaposition.
Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it worked really well. But again, it's a tiny little slice. Who knows what it looks like when you're 2 hours into it? Mm-hmm. I thought it worked in that light. I like the contrast, honestly.
What if the character's art style changes as he grows up? Ooh, that's an idea for a game. Don't take that. Don't take that. Which camera.
You said it out loud.
None of you take it.
You said it out loud.
Platonic.
Yeah, exactly.
Platonic.
The genie's out of the bottle.
Put it back in.
The next
That's a game.
The next game may surprise you, Hitman.
Oh, wow.
Just not in that, just in that it would be more popular than
That's very
number six.
Halo.
Six now? Six? Yeah. Six is Hitman?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Especially
Which
since,
is now just Hitman.
Yeah. And also Hitman wasn't until Tuesday?
Yeah.
Correct? At the Square Conference?
So I like Hitman.
Yeah.
And I think what they're doing with this sounds very interesting. They're doing something very different. They're sort of taking the games as service approach where they're planning like all this downloadable content. You know, there's not really... The way I understand it is there isn't just like a campaign that you play through and it's over. Mm-hmm. They're just going to be constantly giving you new missions and contracts every week, but it's all free.
Yeah.
Like you still just have to buy the game once and then you're going to get all this new content for free.
Yeah, and it's a $60 game.
It takes place after the last game, Absolution, but it's kind of just, it's now you're just being a hitman, taking on contracts.
And if that works out, if they're able to roll content out regularly and it's high quality, I love the water cooler aspect of that.
Yeah.
The fact that I'll be able to come in one week and there's a new mission, we're all coming in Monday talking about what we did over the weekend, and then you come back with the same context a week later. That sounds like fun.
I mean, that's part of the thing that's keeping people around Destiny, since they're being IV dripped new stuff all the time. What's interesting about this is it sounded like they were really going to listen to feedback, and so I'm interested if the game comes out on December 8th, I think, December 9th, one of those days.
Yeah.
If people play it...
Questionable time. Can be difficult.
Yeah, it's a little late. But if people play it and are like, man, we love this mission, and unanimously, everyone loves the Rio mission.
Yeah.
If they look at that and are like, okay, people love this because of A, B, and C, and then they start adding that to levels that they're working on currently, like, I think that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also like how, like, the promise of this is incredible, but like, what's the execution? So it's like if they learn
the execution,
if they learn on December 15th that, oh, everyone loves this mission and keeps replaying it, does that mean you get that content, like, not January 15th, right? February, March, April?
Yeah, I don't,
like,
it takes a while.
Yeah, like, it seems really, really challenging to be able to add anything to a video game. So I don't know what their tools look like, or I'm just curious to learn more.
That's a Destiny comparison. Again, I mean, that's been the problem there. It's been a trickle, and then a lot of what's come out hasn't satisfied people. So
I do think it sounds really cool. I mean, there's been games, the one that keeps coming to mind, I know there's maybe better examples, but the recent SSX was like that. It was like a live game as a service and had sort of events running all the time.
I forgot that was a game.
Yeah, I know. The game itself is kind of so-so, but that aspect of it I thought really, really worked.
Yeah, they can do time stuff where you have a contract live for a day, you have like one day to find this guy.
That'd be really cool.
If you don't find him, you miss out.
It sounds like they almost have like, you can almost play horse in the game where like you're like, I was able to do this using these things. Let's see if you can do it.
Yeah, I think that sounds really good.
Cool. And then finally, the next one is Star Wars Battlefront.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm surprised that wasn't higher.
Yep.
Yeah, that was our...
Maybe just because like we've seen it, knew about it for a while.
Yeah,
it wasn't a big surprise, although that demo was very cool.
Yeah, I want to ask you guys about that demo, because I didn't get to play it, and I had that Freudian slip at the beginning of the podcast and said Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, looking at it from a distance, of a reskin Battlefield, kind of linear, kind of narrow. Was the experience more open than what I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, so what did you, which demo are you talking about?
Hoth demo that I saw people talking about.
I thought it was very open.
Yeah, now people are zipping all around in TIE fighters.
Mm-hmm. Zapping around.
Zip-zopping.
Yeah.
Zip-zopping all around.
Yeah, it's more than a reskin because it takes so many little things from the original trilogy and it makes you feel from like the effects that are sort of, they look like the effects that were used in the movie, to the sound effects, just to sort of the prop design almost.
Yeah, it's like the most Star Wars thing where they had their terrible marketing term for it. What did they call it? The scanning in, photogrammetry, or maybe that's like a real word, but it sounds made up. But basically, instead of...
They use this photography.
It's my kraut rock band.
Yeah.
Instead of a 3D modeler building an X-Wing, they're actually like scanning and using the actual X-Wing that shows up in Star Wars, like that exact model.
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives it that like extra level.
So also what they did in the NES Star Wars game.
Yeah,
the old Atari Star Wars game.
Yeah,
And stuff like when blasters hit the wall, they explode in like a shower of fake looking sparks because that's what they did in the movie. And that stuff really, like, even if you're not like consciously picking up on it, like, it's there and it really, like, you're in Star Wars in a way that you never really have before.
How did the experience contrast with Battlefront 2, which is one of my very favorite Star Wars games?
Well, you like Battlefront 2 more than one?
I did,
It's cray-cray. I mean, I only got to play one round, but I wasn't a huge Battlefront 2 fan, honestly.
How was it different? Can you draw a contrast?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it felt, like, to me, it felt better to be on the ground than it did in the air.
Okay.
I don't know how you guys felt, but I feel like the vehicular stuff can still use a bit of work. One thing I really liked was these sort of world events that just happen depending on the tide of the battle. And so if the rebels are you know, have the upper hand on the Empire, then this massive Star Destroyer is going to crash into the map.
Like in the background, in the skybox?
Yeah.
Like, that's so smart, by the way. Yeah. Instead of having some HUD element that tells you, hey, the rebels are ahead, just have it happening in the background of the scene.
Yeah.
It's like one of those ideas that, like, once you hear about it, you're like, I can't believe this hasn't been done all the time.
Yeah.
Although I was a little troubled by the fact that I don't think canonically a Star Destroyer can enter the upper atmosphere.
Well, like, you know what, Jared?
Okay.
What do you mean it can't? What, do you, what if it's
canonically,
just
you don't have Boba Fett on Hoth tearing shit up either, so it's fine.
I'm excited that this next game received so much attention. Dishonored 2.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, another game with a playable man and woman, but they led with the female. Mm-hmm. I don't remember a name off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's the little girl from the beginning of...
I mean, I liked, it's like a CG trailer, right? So it's like, who the heck knows what the game is.
But it's also
is.
Just like good to know this is coming.
Yeah, really, but like the mood setting that they did was so strong. Yep. Like the mood of Dishonored was probably the best thing about that game, and to show that they really understood that. And even their booth at E3, I don't know if you snapped any photos of it or anything, but... it was like wood floors and like wallpaper and like a fireplace and like it shows that they really take that aspect of the game seriously.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, really cool. I was really happy that we saw a glimpse of that. And yeah, it's Dishonored is one of those just incredible games from a couple years back.
Yeah, I'm also excited to play the definitive edition.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah, I think a lot of people missed it. It came out in a busy year.
Oh yeah, I missed it. Maybe I should play that.
Yeah.
Dishonored sounds like, if they do it right, it's going to be a game that aspiring video game creators should take a look at, because apparently you're going to be going through the same levels, whether you're playing as the male or female character, but they have different power sets, which means they're going to have levels that are able to be solved through different methods. That kind of level design, if they pull it off, that should be really interesting to study. I'd like to see what they come up with.
If you play as both Lost Vikings style?
Okay, anything, when you say Lost Vikings style, I'm sold. That's such a, there aren't enough games like that.
Lost Vikings a rare game?
It's a Blizzard game.
It's a Blizzard game. It's awesome. Yep. The last two games are Halo 5.
That's another game with a lead with a female protagonist. I mean, you play as multiple characters, but you're a squad mate. I'm thinking of Gears.
You're thinking of Gears.
Goodness gracious. But there is,
Yeah, that was a cool demo. I was surprised they showed Locke, like they didn't show a Master Chief.
Yeah.
I would assume they're saving that for Gamescom, probably, like a chief single-player demo. Everything looked cool. Game looked gorgeous. I like the squad. I like the banter between them.
I actually really, really respect 343 for having the balls to like change up the multiplayer as much as they are. Like, I love Halo. I've played many, many thousands of matches of Halo multiplayer, but when I played Master Chief Collection, it was just like, this is starting to feel a little old and dated. Like, you got to do something to clean this up. And they're stuck in this weird spot where the hardcore Halo fans don't want them to ever change anything, but there's fewer and fewer of them with each game. Like, more and more people are peeling off onto other games. And so what I've seen of Halo 5 multiplayer looks fantastic. I think the single player looks fantastic. I think the plot conceit of Master Chief being a fugitive is dumb as hell. I think it's just incredibly, like, he literally saved the Earth, and there's a statue, there's like a memorial to him of saving the entire planet, but no, now he's gone off the, we gotta get the chief.
He's gone rogue.
I mean, he's gone rogue. It's so dumb.
I think it'd be cool. I think dueling narrators, unreliable narrators, I think they'd be cool.
Yeah. It's just an excuse to, you know, bring
you don't in. Just because you save the world, you don't get carte blanche for the rest of your life. You can't just walk into the store and like, you can't spit on a barista and like.
You get, if you save the planet Earth.
That does not excuse you from spitting on a barista.
I'm not saying it excuses Admiral the Kirk behavior, but they're not going to hunt you down.
Yes, they will if you spit on a barista.
Why do you keep bringing that up? Were you spit on when you were a barista?
A couple times, actually.
Man, blew up the Enterprise, came back because he saved the world, brought the whales back, everything forgot.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I think you are insane.
I think everything about that game looks incredible. I can't, it just sounds, it's so dumb. It's such a dumb like thing to hang the hat of that game on.
I hope you get spit on one.
It's a shooter. I mean, dumb kind of goes with the territory. Again, at least it's not Ghosts.
Finally, what do you think the 10th most popular game?
Super Mario Maker.
With the media was.
Oh, I hope so.
Not that.
Aw.
Is that on here?
No Nintendo game.
Well, we already talked about
no Nintendo games. Game in the top 10. Deus Ex Mankind Divided.
Oh,
weird. Okay. What? That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Deus I don't know. More than Mario?
Well.
Dude. We'll get to this, but like Nintendo games just didn't get a lot of coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
My new Wii arrived in the mail today.
What happened to your old Wii?
Huh? I've just been stealing one from work for a long time and using it.
Nice.
So I finally bought one for Mario Maker.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, Deus Ex, that trailer looked cool.
Yeah,
yeah, I liked the last game in spite of its problems with the bosses and stuff, mm-hmm. and they say that they're addressing that, so
sure.
if we get that same level of game with even better bosses, sure.
Yeah. I mean, Mankind Divided, Human Revolution was absolutely one of the big surprises of last gen. That game had no right to be as good as it was. Deus Ex is such a beloved brand and name that people are so protective of, and the new game comes out and does make big changes to it, but then people really embrace it because it's obvious that they understand the heart of what makes Deus Ex mm-hmm. Deus Ex. Everybody loved it. Mankind Divided looks like it's going to be another sort of incredible heavy adventure in that world. I love that they didn't back down from using the term mechanical apartheid. Mm-hmm. That was such an easy, that was the test of being like, we apologize, we weren't trying to be insensitive. But they're like, no, we're trying to tell an important story about what happens to humankind when they're put up, against the brink. And I'm like, yeah, all right, let's do this.
It was a strange E3 to see two tendrils of the John Romero legacy playing themselves out in 2015 Doom on one side and then Deus Ex. It was greatest triumph and then Deus Ex, which was the one bright spot that grew out of his greatest failure. And they're both here at the same.
I actually can't recall. I don't know his exact name, but one of the executives, one of the creative executives on the game, I interviewed them at E3, and they said that they're really... There's still the huge emphasis on stealth and mm-hmm. hacking, but they're focusing a lot of their attention on buttoning up that combat tree, that combat pillar of the mm-hmm. game, so that if you want to play this game more action-oriented, going guns blazing, they said in the last game, technically you could play action or stealth, but really you kind of had to play stealth. Yeah. It wasn't an option to just go tear shit up, and now they mm-hmm. say that that will be a viable path through the game, or you can still sort of climb through ducks or mm-hmm. be the sneaky hacker. So
also, you're supposed to now really be able to have a no-kill playthrough, even mm-hmm. the bosses.
Yeah, so. Which is crazy, yeah.
So I think that's if they're able to execute on that vision, I'm confident, I believe in that team, I believe that they will, absolutely a Game of the Year
that's
contender.
Great.
Yeah. That's one that's early 2016, right, mm-hmm. I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Next spring. Now, what about the conferences? Mm-hmm. Bethesda kicked things off on Sunday with their first conference.
Yeah.
But that's because they had this really special lineup.
Yeah.
That seemed to me to be the stars aligning. Do they come back next year? Does someone want to take that spot next
that's
year?
That's a really good question.
It depends on if they have an Elder Scrolls game ready, I think.
I don't think we're going to be anywhere near ES6.
Bethesda used to be the studio that had Elder Scrolls and Fallout and then kind of a bunch of other random weird stuff.
Yeah.
But they're totally not anymore, right? Dishonored is another gigantic pillar for them.
Yeah, Doom. If next year we see more Dishonored, if we see maybe they're doing something else with Wolfenstein, maybe something else with Evil Within, I think you could, nothing's going to be Fallout 4, but I think... You can absolutely do another one.
They're not the house of just those open world.
A new IP or a new revival.
That's totally. See whatever happened to Prey. Prey 2 doesn't exist anymore, but maybe that team has to be doing something.
Makes me so sad.
Yeah, don't be sad.
What about Microsoft and Sony? I thought both were really strong. I would probably give the slight edge to Sony only because their exclusives interest me more than Halo and Gears of War. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's just what you prefer in that case. Both came out and talked about lots and lots of interesting games. Microsoft was just ba-bam, ba-bam, game.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was messaging, making up for the total mess they made a couple of years before. Mm-hmm. Sony's was a little more offbeat and quirky and full of things that were hard to believe were even happening.
Yeah.
But I think both were impacted in different ways.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think Sony absolutely had the better conference. It was full of shock and awe with Shenmue and Final Fantasy and Last Guardian, and then on and on it went. But then you look at it so what games do they have coming out? We're going to see Final Fantasy in years.
Yeah, Last Guardian for next year. They did not fill the gaping hole in their fall.
So it's it's what's coming out this fall? Microsoft, their conference wasn't as mind-blowing.
We know we're going to be playing Rare Replay. We're going to be playing Halo, Forza, Tomb Raider.
They very much have a much more rock-solid game lineup.
Yeah, totally. Microsoft's was great. It was a 2015 conference. And then it had some things like ReCore, the Keiji Inafune game, which looked cool. The Rare Pirate game. Looks mm-hmm. cool.
Sea of Thieves.
Cuphead mm-hmm. looks great.
Do you guys play that?
Yeah.
I thought it was
you
great.
Liked it a lot?
Yeah, yeah. I loved it.
I've heard contrasts. I'm really interested. I want to play it now because some people really liked it. Some people really didn't. It kind of looks like people talked about being a boss of a game, kind of Alien Soldier-ish.
They made the mistake of making their E3 demo way too hard. Which, not that you're a bunch of sissies that want easy games, but you come up, you play a game, die, 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 and then you walk away, and you're like, well... But I mean, that game live was incredible.
Yeah. Okay. But then, you know, Sony conference was a lot of, hey, please wait a little bit and we'll give you Uncharted 4. Horizon looked incredible, the new Guerrilla game.
I'm still so excited about No Man's Sky.
Yeah, No Man's Sky.
Horizon, yeah, I almost forgot. To me, that was probably the surprise of E3.
They still didn't put any sort of like release date on No Man's Sky, did they?
No.
Nope, still not. Nothing concrete. Yeah,
and they were weird about it, too.
How many times do they keep showing that game? It's like...
Yeah.
I mean, it looks awesome. Oh, I want to play it, but like... They don't really show us a lot of new stuff every time.
Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but the No Man's Sky thing was like, we want to tell you the release date, but we have to wait. I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
like,
I think they said that at the PC conference.
The specific way they phrased it
maybe
was
maybe the
strange.
Release date is at the center of the universe.
Whoa!
That's
man,
sense.
That game looks so good.
It does. I
can't wait.
Now Nintendo, I think, had a very weak showing this year at E3.
Yeah. I put up my fists here.
No,
All right, you guys first.
I agree. Star Fox looks cool.
Does it?
Playing it, yes, it looks cool. I'm not a huge fan of the like 30 different ways you have to control that game, using the gyro sensor, using the screen on the gamepad. It was very cumbersome. It was tough. As someone who plays a lot of games and adores Star Fox 64, there was a whole lot going on, and it was really tough for me to sort of grasp my head around it. Jose got it right away. He's just better than me. I'm a fake gamer. And the 3DS stuff, some of it looked cool. Zelda looked cool. The Paper Mario / Mario & Luigi game looked cool. Yeah. Mario Maker, I think, is going to be rad. But, man, I think that A, not having Zelda there hurt a lot. And B, the Metroid thing being this 3DS so game that I don't really want hurt a lot.
I came out a little on the other end of this. I wrote about this on the site. We reviewed that conference, and I think very fairly pointed out that there were some real problems with it. But I do a lot of handheld gaming, and the 3DS is the last place I have left for new first-party handheld stuff, and half their conference was dedicated to it. Mm-hmm. That made me happy. Mm-hmm. I saw game after game after game. I thought, I'm going to play this during my commute this year. I can't wait for Paper Jam. I'm interested in seeing what a new Metroid looks like. I like the idea of a new Animal Crossing game, and on down the list of things they showed us there. Those were all games I'm going to play. Mario Maker, I love game makers, so that just grabbed me at the core. They finally did something with that stupid pad. Mm-hmm. That really grabs me. Like, they're finally here at what's probably the end of its life cycle. They found something wonderful to do with it. And as game design tools on consoles are inherently clunky, but that has the potential to make it really, really wonderful. And the sharing aspect's built right into the console. Good with that. I liked a lot of things. I'm interested in the Star Fox game. Again, the control weirdness, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was actually pretty happy with that conference. I understand somebody wanting more. But they told us Zelda wasn't going to be there a long time ago, and they showed me 10 games that I'm going to play this year.
Two of the trailers were in Japanese without subtitles.
Yeah, but it's like telling you. Weird. It's like me telling my wife in October, hey, I'm not getting you a Christmas gift. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make it okay.
If they'd have brought nothing else, but that's what, you know, I think they showed, I counted 15 games at the conference, I'll play 10 of them.
Sure.
It's like telling your wife that you're going to spit on a barista.
I can't get over how smart they presented Mario Maker in the exact perfect way.
In the Nintendo World Championship way?
Right?
Yeah.
Because
that thing, we went insane for that.
Yeah. Like it was just so perfect because it shows those levels were actually like funny. They were constructed in the way that like jokes are constructed, where they would have like a section that's really, really, really hard to get through, then something that's just crazy, then something that's like puzzly, like you actually have to go backwards to get through it. Then bring in like famous, really well-known, really skilled speedrunners to sort of see if they can figure out those levels in real time. They couldn't have done anything better to show the potential of that package. Now, the concern is that what levels am I making? Like, I can't do that. And what level can anyone, can Nintendo have tools that will surface those sorts of
curation
levels?
Is going to be the tough thing. That's what's always hurt.
Like, companies better than Nintendo or more skilled and experienced than Nintendo have even had trouble with curation. And
Little Big Planet, that's a problem with it. Sound Shapes, that was a problem with it.
Yeah, that can be, but at the same time, with the tools being so much easier to use, it is going to be a lot easier to fool around and figure out what's good and what's not really quick within the maker, and I like that. WarioWare DIY and Sound Shapes both show the potential that touchscreens have for game design. And when it's easier to throw ideas around, I think you're going to have some help with curation because people throw bad stuff out there, see that it's not doing well in a starring system of some kind, go back, rework it. I think it's going to be a lot easier to see new iterations on levels, and that'll probably improve the quality of what you see out there, just the law of
Yeah, it's just tough. Like, Nintendo hasn't gained my trust with online yet.
Okay, well, that's
fair. This is a very heavy thing. So.
I think that's a game, like StarCraft II, for me, that I will watch more than play. Like, I want to watch. I want to watch speedrunners run through insane levels of Mario Maker, you know, on YouTube every day. But
what, do you watch a lot of StarCraft?
I used to.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only esport I've ever been into.
I'm super excited for Mario Maker. That's one of my most anticipated games for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why I bought my Wii.
I don't think they can make money from that. Just like, they don't make the money from the $60 game, they make money from people watching videos of it.
Hmm. I mean, Nintendo has been trying to, like, claim YouTube stuff, right?
Interesting.
Maybe that's part of their...
scheming.
You see a little Reggie puppet doing this.
Yeah. Those puppets were creepy.
I liked them. They were beautiful.
Oh, I liked the puppets.
Yeah.
I thought their presentation was fun. I thought their game line was...
Did you really find them creepy?
Yeah, puppets are weird.
Do you think the Muppets are weird?
I think some of the Muppets are weird. Like Fozzie Bear, he wears a tie but no pants. What's going on there?
Donald Duck's the same thing. He's got like.
I'm not giving Donald Duck a pass either. Tie no pants.
I do that sometimes.
Donkey Kong, tie no pants.
I do that in the office. About
Except
once
that
a week.
Donkey Kong, Skylander.
Hey, he's wearing a suit.
Yeah, it's a tracksuit.
Yeah. Of the third-party conferences, I thought Bethesda was unquestionably the strongest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ubisoft showed a lot of good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although their conference still had some awkward moments.
Aisha Tyler was out in the audience with that dude. That was awkward.
Yeah, that was really weird.
Yeah.
Whoever that dude was that came out to sing the song,
Jason Derulo.
You've got Just Dance, and I know it's really popular.
I didn't
popular,
know it was him,
but
he didn't sing his name.
Probably isn't the right place for
that. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think any people who are watching. E3 are going to be like, holy shit, Angela Bassett is in this game! That was really weird.
But it's nice to have two women on stage talking to each other.
Yeah. And the games were cool. I mean, Division, Rainbow Six, Syndicate, played all three, enjoyed all three. For Honor
is like
the
is
secret.
Dope.
Yeah, the secret. Really, really cool thing there.
And then, did you mention Ghost Recon? I keep forgetting that they unveiled this new Ghost Recon.
Yeah, from what it sounds like, it's like insane open world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody nailed down For Honor for me for a second, because again, I'm hearing all over the map on this. I'm hearing everything from Bushido Blade to Dynasty Warriors.
It's more Bushido Blade.
Yeah.
See, I don't think so. I think it's more Dynasty Warriors.
It's Dynasty Warriors.
Big scale battles, but you can only take two or three hits.
It's Dynasty Warriors, but then it becomes Bushido. It's Dynasty Warriors when you're fighting just like a bunch of creeps, and then all of a sudden you get to another human player, and it sort of turns into Bushido Blade, where you need to slow down.
It's tri-directional, so you block left, upper, right, and then you attack left, upper, right, and then people's attacks are telegraphed. And so...
Kind of like Fight Night? Like that kind of feel? Or?
I mean, a little. Yeah. I mean, more like Bushido Blade. That's basically it in a nutshell. Okay. Very focused on team fights. Like if it's 2-on-1, you're kind of in a world of hurt. So it's a little bit like it felt to me like heavy and solid. And maybe it's just because it was 4v4 at E3, but it felt like Gears of War, but with swords.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that positioning and awareness of the other players and flanking really matters a lot more than it does in some other multiplayer games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. I'm excited. We only got to play as knights, so I'm excited to see how the Vikings and the samurai are different. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what the different modes, what the single player is.
Yeah, they're only showing off multiplayer, and so we did clear up that it is going to have sort of a full sort of single player game. It's a full $60 game. It looks really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of seeing canned multiplayer demos on stage at E3.
So the Division, when they have... The players
the fake players,
and then he chooses to betray them. But even not even that, more like the Rainbow Six one, where no one talks that way when they're actually playing. Yeah. Cover me, I'm going in, and it's just like that's not real life.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Ubisoft's thing.
The games looked really cool, but I just like that presentation. I'm over.
Super stoked. The Terrorist Hunt is coming back as Terror Hunt.
Yeah. That was always a super fun mode.
And then I thought EA's conference was a little.
Yeah.
Ended strong with Battlefront, but you
we had that Pele. Pele and Hoop God.
And we had the Mass Effect teaser, which was really
I liked the trailer.
Yeah, I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
Good trailer.
Yeah. That was really well constructed.
Yeah, and Unravel is really cool.
Yeah.
That game's great.
Did you play that game?
Yes. Mm-hmm. For anyone who sort of likes Limbo, it's a weighty physics-based
I don't sort of like Limbo.
You sort of love Limbo. And Yarny was the cutest thing ever. So
yeah.
Good on you, Yarny.
Speaking of Limbo, the missing games of E3, Inside was one of
them. Yeah, that was a big one.
Creators of Limbo.
Years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No.
It was our last year. It was revealed last year.
You're right, yeah.
Absent. But they have said, obviously, it was originally slated for spring 2015. They're like, hey, we obviously slipped, but we are hard at work on the game. So
you wrote a whole feature on the missing games of E3.
I did. Mm-hmm. There was 11 of them. I remember Limbo.
Criterion's Extreme Sports.
That was another one we wrote about.
That was during the EA conference last year.
Yeah,
no, that was it on that one.
Yeah, that's they showed it in the sort of like first person, like you're hang gliding and you're on a dirt bike and looks cool.
It just turned into the new Point Break movie. The game. Oh, that's what it was.
I could deal with that.
Yeah,
Dead Island 2.
Yeah. Another game that we debuted
at the
last
Microsoft
year.
Conference last year.
Yeah, yeah, with a really good trailer.
Great trailer.
And then we got to play it at Gamescom.
Gamescom and PAX, Prime, I think.
And then it just sort of went off the grid and they said
it got delayed. I remember you played it. I mean, was it okay?
Yeah, well, I didn't play it. We played it.
We played it at PAX Prime and it looked. Well, one time it looked rough, and the one time it looked promising. I forget which one.
With PAX and Gamescom. But I mean, that's becoming symptomatic of games, you know, maybe being shown a little too early.
Yeah.
Which is why the Fallout being announced and then, hey, it's coming out in 5 months is so insane.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
So, rate this year's E3 on the IGN scale.
Oh wow. I'd say an 8. It was great.
8.2.
8.2.
Ooh, I would do higher. I would do 8.5.
Okay. Only 8.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Can you think of an E3 that was in the 9s?
3 years ago when the consoles were revealed.
That's, yeah.
That one was good.
I actually don't remember. I actually never, ever remember the show floors themselves. They're just a big blur. But that press conference day was one of the best days of my professional life, working. Not counting personal life, but... those consoles
just because Sony just tore Microsoft into shreds.
It's the ones that, those ones where somebody gets destroyed are almost more entertaining. E3 1995, where Sony destroyed Sega, same thing. Just a crazy, crazy moment.
I really
95.
The E3 itself was bad, but E3 2004, where Reggie came out on stage said, I'm Reggie, I'm all about kicking ass and taking names, like that whole deal. And at the end of that conference is when they had the Twilight Princess reveal.
That's right.
Yeah, and I was in the audience for that, and that was pretty incredible.
Did you cry?
I did not cry. The man next to me was losing his goddamn mind. I don't know if people have seen the video on YouTube, and like the guy that you can hear freaking out in the video might have been the guy that was right next to
me. Yeah, and you're like, pair, quiet.
But this was what we want. This was lots and lots of good games, many of which are coming out this year or next spring. Mm-hmm. That's an exciting thing. This is a good E3. Great E3.
Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Hi.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like John did.
Whoa.
Hi, John.
John says, hi, everyone.
Howdy, John.
After the Bethesda conference, it seemed that Fallout was almost a sure thing for Game of the Show. A few days later, most major sites, including IGN, and picked something else. Do you think that Fallout suffered because it wasn't something new and was expected to be awesome, relative to something surprising like Horizon or Battlefront? Or were other games just more impressive? Curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, the big secret about E3 awards, or maybe it's not a secret, is that it's kind of an award for who has the best magic show. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. Like, we don't know. It's not a promise of we think Battlefront's going to be the best game of the year. Mm-hmm. It's also an issue of access. Like, Battlefront had 40 people up playing it on stage. It was relatively easy to get in and see a lot of.
Yeah. And that's the thing. None of us, save for Steve, played Fallout.
They only let our editor-in-chief play Fallout.
For judging, so there's a thing called Judges Week where there's pretty much one person for every outlet, usually the EIC, is an actual judge. Yeah. And so they get to play stuff like Dark Souls, and they get to play like that. The rest of us don't.
So the E3 award is a combination of the game that was the most fun and the game that we do think has potential to be good when it comes out, but also just the game that had the best showing at the show itself. Mm-hmm. And Fallout, in my opinion, if I were to make a prediction, make a bet, I think it's going to be a better game than Battlefront. Yeah. I do, but that doesn't make it a better game at E3.
Mm-hmm. And historically, IGN has granted these awards many times to developers that have created games that have done things we haven't seen before. For example, just a few years ago, the E3 game of the show for IGN was Scribblenauts, which is a little quaint little DS game that did something nobody had ever seen before.
Well, it felt like magic at the time. It's
Scribblenauts,
like reading your mind.
Still one of the best DS games. I love that
game. I like Scribblenauts.
We did, to be fair, we have gotten some very wrong, including Rage. It's probably the big standout.
Raji.
But part of it.
Yeah, I mean, Battlefront was just really fun. Like, everyone played it really, really fun. It sort of tweaks that Star Wars nostalgia. It's better than people expected it to be. It gets Game of the Show.
And there was not a slight... I think it's a comment on just how strong the lineup was, is that...
It's also worth pointing out, we don't reveal our votes, but it was very, very, very close
Yeah.
between Battlefront and Fallout.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things, like certain... like, I think I, Andrew Goldfarb and I were the only ones who saw the Behind Closed Doors Uncharted demo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that was the thing for me that was like, this stuff on stage at Sony was good, but the Behind Closed Doors thing was like incredible.
And I've heard, you know, it's a fast and furious week. You're all doing the best you can to see as many games as you can. And I've heard from people that saw Horizon that it was just absolutely incredible. Yeah. And if everyone could have seen a game like that, maybe the awards could have swung a different way. But you played what you played.
I just like living in a world where there's a game where cavemen can hunt robot dinosaurs. That needed to happen.
All about those robot
cave
dinosaurs.
Women.
Boom.
Cave women. Good point. Yep, cave people.
Now's the time on GameScoop when we play Video Game 20 Questions.
Oh yeah.
And our game suggestion this week comes from Keenan.
Hey Keenan.
He's picked it. Everybody knows how this works. We're playing by sudden death rules now. You know how this works, Jared?
No, I don't know the sudden death
rules. If you guess a specific game and it's wrong, you guys lose.
We actually
die. The horror.
Yeah.
Okay.
We kill you on camera.
Wow. Jeez. That's
cut your head off really like Shinji Mikami almost did.
When you are ready, you may begin asking me the questions.
Oh yeah, that's right. We gotta actually play the game.
Oh yeah, I forgot. Okay. Let's start and let's go in circles.
Did it come out before 2000?
No.
Is it on a Sony platform?
No.
Ooh. Ooh, goodness. Is it a PC exclusive?
No.
Okay. Is it on a Nintendo platform?
No.
All right. Here we go.
So it's an Xbox game.
Let's get specific.
Was it an Xbox 360 game?
Yes.
All right. Is it a first-person shooter?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, but exclusive. Mm-hmm.
No, I said a 360 game.
Oh, right, but we know it didn't appear on Nintendo or Sony or PC.
He said, is it a PC exclusive? Exclusive,
so it could also be on PC.
Okay.
But it didn't appear on Sony at all.
No.
So that shooter. Probably still means it's
a... is it a first-party game?
No.
Does it have a... Is it a game in a series, or is it a one? Like, yes. Is it a part of a series?
Yes.
You want to consult the...
No, I mean, it's just, what do you consider a series?
I mean, like...
This is not my guess. I'm just consulting with my team. I'm thinking maybe, like, Call of Juarez, or... No, those all hit PC, and they were all multiple.
Well, again, no, these can be on PC. I only asked if it was PC exclusive.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a...
So is that game... I'm just trying to think. But Black was only on Sony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not first party, so it's not Halo.
This is 360.
Did Doom ever make it to a Sony platform?
This is 360.
Oh, Doom
was around 360.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, it was on XBLA.
The original Doom was on XBLA.
Yeah, it was on XBLA.
But
that's a
series. This is not the original Doom. If this is the original Doom on XBLA, I'm never appearing on GameScoop again.
It's not the original Doom because that came out before 2000. Which
I know, like, that's why I said if it's that,
but I'm just saying, it, like, you keep saying 360, right. Like Halo is on 360 too.
You're
a bunch correct. Of Halo
you're
games.
A Halo.
That's your point.
But it's not Halo games.
I'm just using
hey,
that
Damon,
logic.
We're yeah. back.
Yeah. Yeah,
is this game M-rated?
Yes.
And for mature.
Oh, yes. My. You know what? Skip me because I'm dancing.
I was going to ask an or question. Is it sci-fi, futuristic?
No.
That's World War II.
Yeah, does this take place during a real war?
No.
Doesn't happen during a real war, so it's none of the early Call of Duty games, anything like that.
That's not a real war, is it?
No. Homefront's during
wait, so let's recap.
Homefront was on PlayStation.
Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah. So not a first party game.
Yeah.
Appeared on the Xbox 360.
An M-rated first person shooter.
Didn't appear on Nintendo. Did we ask specifically about Sony? I don't even remember.
We asked if it was on a Sony platform.
So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
Part of a series, what did you say? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
And
it's a first person
shooter. We actually got way more hints than that. It's not futuristic or sci-fi, but it's not doesn't take place in a real war.
Does this game have a multiplayer element?
Yes.
Okay. Not sci-fi, multiplayer element, and on the 360. What is
that? Bad Company?
Ooh. No, that appeared on Sony stuff. Sony stuff.
Yeah.
So it can't be that. I feel very foolish. I'm sure the audience is screaming.
Does this game have a, what you would consider a good story mode? Like a good story?
It's a wishy-washy question.
I want to know if you said.
You're asking me if I think the game has a good story?
Or, like, collectively, do people think... Would you say the general consensus?
I say this game is not known for that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, see, it's not a sci-fi story.
F.
Not a sci-fi story. but a first-person shooter.
It's not Just Cause 2 either.
Was that? Oh no, that was sci-fi.
Yeah. Far Cry was on all platforms.
The game made by the people.
Oh, publisher. Is it
Ghost Recon?
Ooh.
What? But no, Ghost Recon or Gra? No, Gra's not first person. It's third person.
Yep. Keep thinking of third person things.
Yeah. Wait. What was the?
Should we try to narrow publisher?
Yeah. Wait. What was the People Can Fly one where you're zip zapping and you're
that's
kicking
what,
people?
I suggest Bullet that. Storm. But that, no. But that, no. Don't. First of all, you can't guess the game.
Said Bulletstorm. Okay. I was looking at you.
But that's sci-fi. You're on a spaceship.
Yep, lots of sci-fi.
But I thought about
USS Bulletstorm.
Well, what are there other settings besides sci-fi? Maybe we can narrow it by that. It's not a war, it's not sci-fi. Are there any other tropey settings?
Those are the settings.
Could it be... did you say rated M? Did you say yes?
It's an M-rated... It's an M-rated Xbox / Xbox PC...
This is not going well.
I'm sure people out there are starting to figure it out.
No, they're not! is it based off an existing property?
Ooh, that's a good question.
No.
F.
Oh, man. Frustrating.
I know.
We can try to do. But publisher and developer is a trap. Because it's probably someone weird.
Yeah.
And he. I got it.
Oh, what is it? What is it?
I got it. Was it a 360 launch title?
Nope.
F?
Were you thinking King Kong again?
No. I'm thinking Condemned 2.
Condemned 2?
Yeah. First was a shooter, M rated, only on Microsoft platforms, part of a series.
I mean, do we want to. Okay, I have a question.
Is the game spooky?
Yes.
But Condemned doesn't have multiplayer.
Okay. Is the game made by a company we talked about on this Game Scoop?
Jesus.
No, because I don't want to start saying.
No.
Wait, spooky?
You hear that?
No.
Spooky.
Oh, is this spooky a Quake game?
Not made by somebody we talked about at this press conference.
Well, that's right.
Three questions left.
That's why I didn't want to say
why
that.
Why is it spooky?
It could be spooky.
Is it just Bioshock?
No, because that's sci-fi.
Everything.
Wow. Yeah, it's sci-fi and it's on PlayStation.
That's sci-fi.
Wait. What was the zombie? The Dead Island.
Yeah, that was on Sony.
And Fear was on.
That's
both,
the part I keep
right?
missing.
Ooh, yeah, Fear was on
Fear
both.
Was on both.
Spooky.
That's a big hint we just got. So it's not Ubisoft, EA, or we didn't mention
you said
Activision.
Developer.
I said, was it developed by a company we talked about on this show?
Goodness. Why is it spooky? What's spooky about it? That's not a yes or no question.
Bioshock 2?
No, are you killing things that aren't human? What does that even mean? What a weird question to ask.
That's a hard yes or no question to answer.
Okay.
I don't know.
The eight ball is confused.
I mean,
wow.
I guess if the answer is yes or no, it's... I can't even think.
Exactly.
I don't want to mislead you.
Is this like that America question that time?
I don't want to mislead anybody.
All right, well, that's fair.
Someone's just got to pull a trigger.
We're in trouble. No,
I don't know. Three questions.
FPS on the 360 are like a giant blind spot for me. So
Does the title start with a letter in the first half of the alphabet?
That's pretty good.
M or prior?
Yes.
Okay. That's a pretty good question.
Should we split the alphabet now?
G or before?
Ask me the question again.
So does it start with a G or prior to it?
No.
Okay, so H-I-J-K-L-M.
H-I-J-K-L-M.
Last question.
We said home front.
J-K. Killzone. K-L. M.
Killmans?
This is your last guess.
This is it.
If you don't guess the game, you lose.
This is the guess.
Okay.
Wait, so what are the letters?
H-I-J-K-L-M.
Haze? No, that was on PS3.
Can I use my lifeline? Can I call?
No. Jericho.
Oh,
was that a game?
Yeah,
that was a game.
But that was a Bethesda game, wasn't it?
I don't know. That'd be a mean game to pick for this game, though.
Was that first person? I don't remember.
I don't know.
You guys are gonna kick yourselves.
Am I angry?
Let's guess it. Let's do this. Bring us in.
Okay, we're bringing it in.
Is it a Halo game?
No, he said it's not
sci-fi.
I'm going to have Zach pull up the image here.
Okay, Zach,
they're not ever going
to... What letter does it start with? So we've already lost.
We lost.
Okay. But what letter does it start with?
L.
I am lost here. I'm going to...
Bring it up, Zach.
Zach, don't
do
it.
Zach's going to bring it up.
Left for for Dead 2, everybody listening at home. Left for Dead 2.
That's really dumb.
So
wow.
That's why when you asked me if they're humans, I didn't want to like miss any because they're former humans.
Wow, that's
that was a really good one.
I'll be tendering my resignation.
I'm gonna tender my resignation.
Wow.
Oh, that's not bad. That wasn't great.
I don't deserve to work here anymore.
So
let's postmortem this real quick.
Everybody thought it seemed like 20 questions was too easy, so I instated the rule that the sudden death rule. Now is it too hard?
No, because the rule wouldn't have made a difference.
Okay. No, I think that
I wouldn't have got there.
We just straight up screwed up. I mean, in hindsight, if we were to postmort this, we should have maybe honed in on like the kind of spooky.
Yeah,
it's gonna be my YouTube channel.
Ghost spooky, zombie.
Yeah, but by the time we got to spooky, we were near the end of it.
Yeah, but you could have done like ghost or zombie. Yeah. Like if we honed it
if
on zombie.
If one of us
would have
said the word zombie, I think this would have clicked in.
And this was not a subtle game. He didn't pick something obscure. Yeah. I mean, this is a huge freaking game.
I like that we legitimately thought it could be Hayes or Jericho. Clive Barker's Jericho.
We're taking these questions from the listeners now.
I mean, we've gotten way deeper cuts than this.
Playboy the Mansion was.
Well, we missed that one.
Yeah, that was.
I just mean we've correctly guessed way deeper cuts.
This is a game I didn't play much of, and just forget. I didn't like it as much as everybody else did. Just forgot about it.
I also think about it. I mean, I know it was on 360, but I always think about it as a PC game.
Really, I played it on 360.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
All right, that is all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Justin. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. Don't forget, if you're local, about the IGN house party and after party this Saturday. My name is Damon. This is IGN Gamescoop, and we're out.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.